they worship.
Atta.
Atta.
Therefore.
Quam.
You.
Atta eva.
Atta eva.
Therefore.
Sattva.
Sattva.
All saintly persons.
All saintly persons.
Yudhashta.
Yudhashta.
Who dispel.
Maya
guna.
Maya guna.
The modes of material nature.
Modes of material nature.
Vibrama.
Vibrama.
Misconceptions.
Misconceptions.
Buddhayam.
Buddhayam.
Produced.
Produced.
Bhavat.
Bhavat.
Your.
Your.
Pada.
Pada.
Lotus feet.
Lotus feet.
Anushmaranat.
Anushmaranat.
Constantly remembering.
Constantly remembering.
Rite.
Rite.
Accept. Shatam,
Shatam,
great saintly persons,
great saintly persons,
Imitam,
Imitam,
reason,
reason,
Anyat,
Anyat,
other,
other,
Bhagavan,
Bhagavan,
the supreme personality of Godhead,
the supreme personality of Godhead,
Na,
Na,
Not,
Na,
Vidmahe,
Vidmahe,
I can understand,
I can understand.
Translation: great saintly persons who are always liberated take to your devotional service, because only by devotional service can one be relieved from illusions of material existence. O my Lord, there is no reason for the liberated souls to take shelter at your lotus feet, except that such souls are constantly thinking of your feet. I repeat, great saintly persons,
great saintly persons,
who are always liberated,
who are always liberated,
take to your devotional service.
Take to your devotional service.
Because only by devotional service.
Because only by devotional service.
Can one be relieved.
Can one be relieved.
Illusions of material existence.
Illusions of material existence.
Oh my Lord.
Oh my Lord.
There is no reason.
There is no reason.
For the liberated souls.
For the liberated souls.
To take shelter at your lotus feet.
Take shelter at your lotus feet.
Except that such souls.
Except that such souls.
Are constantly thinking of your feet. Purport by some language. The karmis are generally engaged in fruitive activities for material bodily comforts. The gyanis, however, stop talking. The gyanis, however, are disgusted with searching after material comforts. They understand that they have nothing to do with this material world, being spirit souls. After self-realization, the gyanis who are actually mature in their knowledge must surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Bahunam Janmanam Ante. Self-realization is not complete unless one comes to the devotional platform. Therefore, it is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam that those who are Atmarama, self-satisfied, are free from all contaminations of the material modes of nature. As long as one is affected by the modes of material nature, by Rajas and Tamas, he will be very greedy and lusty, and will therefore engage in hard tasks, laboring all day and night. Such false egoism carries one from one species of life into another perpetually, and there is no rest in any species of life. And the Gyani, the Gyani understands this fact, and therefore ceases to work and takes to karma sannyas. Yet, this is not actually the platform of satisfaction. After self-realization, the material wisdom of the Gyani leads him to the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Yet he is satisfied only in contemplating the lotus feet of the Lord constantly. Prithu Maharaj therefore concluded that liberated persons taking to the devotional path have acquired the ultimate goal of life. If liberation were the end in itself, there would be no question of a liberated person's taking to devotional service. In other words, the transcendental bliss derived from self-realization, known as Atmananda, is very insignificant in the presence of the bliss derived from devotional service to the lotus feet of the Lord. Prithu Maharaj therefore concluded, Prithu Maharaj therefore concluded that he would simply hear the glories of the Lord constantly and thus engage his mind upon the lotus feet of the Lord. That is the highest perfection. Oma Gyanta Madandasya Ginam Ginashalakaya Chaksur Vitam Jena Tasmai Sigadavena Maha Sri Chaitanya Manovishnam Stapitam Nena Bhutale Shwayam Rupa Gadamanam Dhanati Shvapa Dhanati Kram Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasani Gaur Bhakti Vrinda
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama
Great saintly persons who are always liberated, take to your devotional service, because only by devotional service can one be relieved from the illusions of material existence. O my Lord, there is no reason for the liberated souls to take shelter at the lotus feet, except that such souls are constantly thinking of your feet. So again, as in many verses, the Srimad Bhagavatam establishes the superiority of devotional service to the Lord as being the highest goal of existence, and therefore completely satisfying the endeavoring transcendentalist. Sabhaipum sham karat marmo yato bhakti yodoksaji ahaitukir patiyata yayatma shri prasidati. Another important verse, the first canto, that the supreme occupation for all mankind is that by which they can attain to the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Such service must be a haitaki of vrtiyata, unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to completely satisfy the self. Bhakti yoga is supreme over all other classes of transcendentalists because a devotee becomes selfless. He becomes free of all personal desires and he engages in the service of the Supreme. Actually, our Vaishnava Acharyas are very adamant about this fact, very strict on establishing this philosophy, not giving very much credit to other classes of transcendentalists. Some credit is due, of course, as Prabhupada mentions here. The jnanis are not like ordinary karmis. Ordinary karmis are engaged in fruitless tasks, as Prabhupada said, you're laboring all day and night, and such false egoism carries them from one species of life into another perpetually, and there's no rest in any species of life. So an intelligent person, he wants to make a solution to this problem. So he wants to give up material existence. So the jnanis, they make a philosophical research. What is this material world? What is the nature of the soul? Etc. And they take to the transcendental path. They give up the false pursuit of fruitive activity. And they engage in jnana yoga. Jnana yoga means to begin to give up material existence. What is the source of material existence? Material desire. So they give up fruitive activity and they contemplate the nature of the soul. And sometimes they achieve a state of liberation because they cease to engage in fruitive activity and material activity. So they do attain a certain stage of liberation. There is something there. But unless they evolve to the point of devotional service, their activity is not complete. Because still within their heart, there remains a small amount of independence from the Lord. Unless one, from the liberated platform, takes up the platform of devotional service to the Lord, which automatically includes the liberated platform, his endeavors are not complete. And there's every chance that he can fall down again. Because simply to give up material activity is 50% of the battle. There's only half the battle. The other part is to learn the devotional service to the Lord. That is the real eternal position. Devotional service to the Lord. The jnani, being frustrated with material existence, he takes to a transcendental path. He gives up material activity. That is only half the battle. Then one has to learn the science of devotional service. So the Bhagavatam, the Gita describes, after many, many births, one who has actually acknowledged, he surrenders to me. That is the perfection of Jnana Yoga. A yogi is known as a Hatha Yogi, a Jnana Yogi, a Jhana Yogi, or whatever, according to where he is on the evolution of the spiritual path. It's not that all these paths necessarily lead to the same goal. They may be helpful for the aspiring transcendentalist to advance in spiritual life. But bhakti yoga is not another path. It is the sum and substance. Because the bhakti yogi has not only given up fruitive activity and philosophical he has attained supernal position as a servant of the Lord. Savaipum sham padatharmo yatoba ahaitukiya patiyata yayakamasubis. Only that will completely satisfy the self. Therefore, our Vaishnava acharyas are very strict, because they know that unless that disease is uprooted, that independence from the Lord is uprooted to the last degree, to the last iota, one has not achieved perfection. There's every chance that one can fall down again. There's so many stories, aren't there, where great yogis have achieved a very elevated stage in spiritual life, but they fall down. Even when they merge into the impersonal Brahman, and then also he may fall down. Prabhupada mentions in Chaitanya Charitamrita that when one falls down from the impersonal Brahman, that is the most painful thing that the living entity can experience. You can imagine so many painful things in this world. It's like once I had a kidney stone, and that was extremely painful. Actually, I thought I was going to die. So later on, one devotee, whose knowledge of the Vedic scriptures, said in the Yajurveda, which describes medicine, it's described that the pain of the kidney stone is equal to the pain of death. We were just reading myself from Prahlad yesterday. I met with Satsguru Maharaj when he was very sick. I was also very sick at the time. And we were discussing our illness in relationship to Krishna. God was purifying us and making us more dependent upon the Lord, more serious in the process of devotional service. And he was saying, oh yes, he had also heard that the kidney stone is equal to the pain of death. So what was it like, death? Could you chant? And well, I remember I couldn't chant the whole mantra, but I could get something out.
Krishna! Hare Rama!
So the kidney stone was just a tiny little thing. Actually, later on, the kidney, they didn't have to operate. The kidney stone came out. It went to the latrine. Then, ding, in the bowl, came this tiny little, it was only this big. It was a pink little, actually what it is chemicals. When I was young, I had meningitis, spinal meningitis. So I was a guinea pig. And because most of the people were dying, this was 1950s, early 1950s, there was no real cure at that time for meningitis. So they were experimenting with different drugs. So they put us all in the ward. I mean, you get this drug, you get that drug, you get this drug, you know, and we'll see who lives and who dies. And I live. Go on, Narasimha Dev. Different drugs. So, but as a result of taking all those drugs, you know, all the drugs are like chemicals, so like those chemicals assimilated, and years later they formed a stone in the kidney, all the different chemicals that we take through our life. So, but it was a little tiny stone, barely maybe the size of not the small point of the pin, but the other side of the pin. So it was that big. It was pinkish and clear, and razor sharp. When I picked it up, I cut my finger. So also, before going to the tree, I was passing blood as it was coming from the kidney out. And then, ding, 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 what is that? Rascal, you. I wanted to crush it. I had to take the doctor to analyze it. So it was just a little thing, but it caused so much pain. So in the same way, if we retain any independence from the Lord, however small it may be, will be the cause of great suffering. So the jnani, he renounces this materialistic world altogether, but he still retains an independent desire. He doesn't want to serve Krishna, he wants to merge with Krishna. It is another way of avoiding devotional service. Actually, unless and until one comes to the platform of Bhakti Yoga, he will not be free from illusion and suffering. Therefore, we can understand that all other activities are more or less ways and means of avoiding devotional service to the Lord. Of course, gross material activities, it's very apparent how one is acting completely independent of the Lord. An intelligent person may see that as a cause of suffering, so he may want to give up materialistic life. But unless he takes to devotional service to the Lord, Jivarasuna Poya Krishnara Nityadas situates himself in his eternal identity as servant to the Lord, he's still retaining some type of independence, which will ultimately be the cause of his suffering. Because independence from Krishna means we have to suffer. So, the Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Ata Eva Shanta Bhukti Mukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Chakilaya Shanta. Krishnadas Kaviraj, he's very strict. He doesn't give any room. Just like the doctor, when you go to the doctor, you have to take out the infection, just like one Prabhu has a boil. Who is that? What is your name again? Bhakti John. So Bhakti John has boils. Don't sit too close. So we were discussing the other day that he's now, this is his third boil since he's come back from India. So I was, he asked me what to do about the boil. So having had many boils also, having anyone that goes, well, if you stay in India long enough, you'll get boils, purification. So boils, what you have to do is the infection is there, the pus is there, but you have to take out the root. Because if you don't take out that little stringy root that's in the middle of the boil, then the pus may come up with the infection, it stays, and the germ stays and goes to other parts of the body. So you have to take it out. So good, he asked me what to do. So I said, go to a doctor. Let the doctors, let the professional do it. Let them take the scalpel, take the whole thing out, clean, no problem. So the same thing is there. Our Vaishnava acharyas were like doctors. Vamsha kalpatu vyasana oma gyanta manandasya gyanangira shalakaya chaksur vinitam jena tasmai shi guru vena shalakaya. It's often been translated as shkapasya, or knife. But the spiritual master, by giving us the philosophy of pure devotional service to the Lord, he removes that cataract from the eyes. I offer my respectful obeisances to my spiritual master, who has opened my eyes with the light of transcendental knowledge while I was standing blinded by the darkness of material existence. So he opens our eyes with the light of transcendental. To do that, he has to remove the cataracts of material sense gratification. So with the knife of transcendental knowledge. So a doctor like that, with the knife, he goes and removes to the last degree all amounts of infection within there. So Krishnadas Kaviraj is like that doctor. Doctors are not sentimental. You come in, whatever pain you have to undergo, they will do it to remove that last bit of infection, otherwise their operation is not complete. And what is the use of an incomplete operation? Therefore, when Srila Vyasadeva was despondent due to the fact that he had not described devotional service to the Lord, but he'd only elaborated on karma kanda, jnana kanda, upasana kanda in his Vedas. He elaborated on fruitive activity, philosophical speculation, and demigod worship. But he had not described the Supreme Transcendental Lord in devotional service to him. He was despondent. Therefore, when Narada Muni came along, he said, you have not actually broadcast the sublime and spotless glories of the personality of God. That philosophy which does not satisfy the transcendental senses of the Lord is considered worthless. It's considered worthless. He said, actually, the people in general are naturally inclined towards enjoyment, and you have encouraged them in the name of religion. You've encouraged them. In other words, they still retain their independent desires from the Lord, a selfish motivation. We could even classify it as a type of sense gratification. So therefore, although you've described religion, you've described karma kanda, a regulated sense activity, you've described jnana kanda, or the pursuit of the absolute truth through philosophical speculation, and upasana kanda, or demigod worship, you're actually cheating the people. You're giving them some type of purification. All right, it's granted. But Bhakti John will not be satisfied if you blow on his boil. It's on his knee. So out of sympathy. Okay, Bhakti John, everything else has to be. What is that? Karma kanda. Regulating sense gratification. At least you're not a nonsense, materialistic demon. You're regulating. Okay, but it's not the goal. You can't equate that with pure devotional service, which completely satisfies the self, which uproots the threefold miseries of material existence from the heart by taking away all independence, selfishness. You can't. Blowing on the board. Or jnana kanda, philosophical pursuit for the absolute truth. If philosophical pursuit for the absolute truth is the ultimate goal, as Prabhupada very intelligently, Prabhupada presents so many nice arguments here. He says, if this is the fact that it was the goal, then how is it that those who are jnana yogis evolved into bhakti yogis? As Krishna says in the Gita. After many, many births, one who is actually in knowledge of me, he surrenders to me. So If jnana yoga is the goal, then how is it that Krishna says that after many births, such persons who perfect jnana, they surrender? There are so many instances, so many references where great impersonalists who are perfected jnana yogis, they become bhakti yogis. But where are the references where the bhakti yogis become impersonalists? Can you state one? Maybe sometimes the bhakti yogi, due to immaturity in devotional service, falls down from the platform of Krishna consciousness and takes again to material activity. But that's also discussed in the same chapter of the Bhagavatam, of Srila Vyasadeva's despondency, where Narada is establishing the superiority of devotional service all over all these other paths. So very intelligent, he brings this point up. And sometimes the bhakti yoga may follow. What is the loss? It's an eternal benefit, an eternal gain. Just like the Gita says, he begins his next life where he left off. So, but the bhakti yogi, he'll never take up the path of impersonalism. He'll never become bewildered in that way. We have so many examples. There are examples of devotees who have fallen from the path of devotional service. But what does the Gita say? That because they again become properly situated, they're rectified. Whereas, where do we see a bhakti yogi taking to the impersonalist? Due to immaturity, he may fall down temporarily into material life, like Bharat Maharaj. But a devotee will not accept the philosophical misconception that he is one with the Lord. Only if he is extremely unfortunate will he become polluted in this way. So, this retaining our desire to enjoy separately from the Lord can also fall into the category of yogis and jnanis. Therefore, our doctor, our acharya, Kaviraj Goswami, he is saying, Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Shakalai. That the bhuktis are the fruit of enjoyers, the muktis, those who desire liberation, and the mukt and the siddhis, Kami, he says. They're all kamis. They're lusty. And therefore, Shakya Ashanta. Ashanta means they're not peaceful. Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Ata Eva Shanta. But a devotee, because a devotee of Lord Krishna is desireless, he is peaceful. So desireless means no material desires, but desiring to serve the Lord. Only at that stage can that last iota of sense gratification. It is all sense gratification, practically speaking, it is material. What was our definition of material? Our definition of material is that which is independent of the Lord, that which is separate from the Lord. That is our definition of material. Just like at a Sunday feast, you get the classic question, well, if you're all spiritualists, then why do you live in this beautiful temple and have electricity? And I see you're wearing a watch, and I saw the video upstairs, so what? That doesn't look very spiritual to me. But what is our understanding of spiritual? Spiritual means that which is in relationship to the Lord. So all energies come from the Lord. Rasha Shaktir Hibitaiva Shriyate. The Lord is the source of innumerable energies. And if those energies are employed in the service of the Lord, even if they appear to be material, they're spiritual. Because the effect is not binding, it's not conditioning, it's liberating. It's liberating. So material means that which is used separately from the interest of the Lord. So look at these jnanis. Instead of just having their own little domain as a householder, a fruitive worker, enjoying that, they want to give up the frustration of that, and they want to merge with God. And what does God mean? God means a supreme controller. So instead of being a little controller, they want to be a big controller. Instead of enjoying a small little world of activity, they want to merge with everything and enjoy everything without God. So therefore, Prabhupada said this impersonal philosophy is the last snare of material existence. The snare is obvious in the case of the materialist. It may not be so obvious in the case of the impersonalist unless we hear from a pure devotee about his position. But because he's independently wanting to enjoy separately from Krishna, who is the supreme enjoyer, we have to classify it as material. Therefore, the last snare of material existence. That is the jnana. And the yogi? He's just like a child, right? Just like the kids, they like to have slingshots, play football, isn't it? slingshots, football, frisbees. For a child, a frisbee is a very mystical thing. And when I first saw a frisbee, you know, it's silly, just like a flying saucer lands. It's very mystical. And also the soccer players, Pelé. You know Pelé? Pelé was one of the most famous soccer players. So Pelé, nobody could stop him. It was mystical what Pelé was doing. He would go down the field. He was so expert with his feet. He would like float down the field, kicking that little ball. No one could stop. Right into the net. It's mystical. Sometimes the activities of the scientists also appeared in these big airplanes. Big 747s, very heavy, full of so many people, so many tons of luggage, and that thing is taking off and going into the air. And one time Prabhupada said the material nature is mystical. So these activities, to those who are less intelligent, it may appear to be something very mystical, something very wonderful, to be able to manipulate the material energy. So therefore, in the Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada describes the activities of the yogis. He equates them with the activities of the scientists. Nothing very wonderful. They're simply manipulating the material energy for what? For their own personal enjoyment. Where is God in the picture? Of course, a pure devotee, he may also have mystic powers. In fact, a pure devotee does have mystic powers. It's described that a pure devotee has full mystic powers. But he doesn't want to display them for the cheap adoration of the public. Of course, if the public is very stupid, then he may, in order to get their attention, display some mystic powers. But he wants them to understand the real message, which is devotional service, just like Jesus. Jesus displayed so many mystic powers. He healed the sick. He walked on water. That's a yogic city. The yogic city is to walk on water, to become lighter than air so you can walk on water. So why did he do that? What was his purpose in doing that? Because the people were so dumb and foolish that by philosophy, he couldn't attract them. So he had to do some mystic power. Oh, look, he is a great person, so now he must hear from him. So then sometimes they would ask Prabhupada like that. So what mystic powers can you do as if that is the standard of what's going on? I said, my mystic power, my miracle is all these boys and girls sitting here. That is my miracle. That all these boys and girls who were born in the late Jayadana family, they have now become Vaishnava devotees of the Lord. Just as bell metal can be changed into gold by a proper chemical process, similarly, a common man can be turned into a Vaishnava Brahmana by a proper diksha and training. It's no less a wonderful thing, is it? We think of bell metal being changed into gold. Wow, that's something really wonderful, but it's impossible. So someone may think, especially those born in India, how can all these Westerners who were engaged in so much sinful activity become Vaishnavas? Become Brahmanas, what to speak of Vaishnavas? How is it possible? It's possible with the mercy of a pure devotee. That is how it's possible. You can also make gold. It's very easy. It's the formula is there in the Vedas. It's very easy. It's not complicated. You just have to follow the authorized process. Yogi, before going to sleep at night, he would drink mercury. Then in the morning, when he relieved the call of nature, he would pass urine on a bell metal. Simple. So, should we try? Instant death. So, it is something very wonderful. So, it is also very wonderful that a pure devotee of the Lord can transform a conditioned soul into a Vaishnava in a very short space of time by giving them the process of devotion. So that is Prabhupada's wonderful. That is his wonder. That is his miracle. So the yogis, but that is all in relationship to Krishna. He is displaying those wonderful powers in relationship to devotional service of the Lord. Whereas the yogis, they are juggling the planets and kicking the footballs and flying the frisbees, so to speak. All for their personal sense and joy. So there, Krishna's Kaviraj, it's all nonsense. Sadhu is very cutting. Sadhu means one who cuts. So the real sadhu, as it's described here, sadhavo, those who are engaged in devotional service, they have no sentiment. They know that little tinge of sense gratification, independence, what will that lead to? It'll lead to misery. Bhukti, Mukti, Siddhi, with all the, it is all Shakali Ashanta, it is all lusty, miserable life. So we don't hold much for these things. Actually, Nautam Das Thakur, he describes Jnana Karma as poison pots. Those engaged in fruitive activities and those engaged in the philosophical pursuit of the Absolute, he describes it as covered pots of poison. The devotee is not interested in it. So it's very cutting. Bhukti, Mukti, Siddhi, are all in the same boat. So become devotees of the Lord, because only devotional service. Mamchayo vivichayana bhakti yogina sevate sabunan samatikyaitan brahma bhuya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down under any circumstances, at once transcends the modes of nature and comes to the level of Brahman. That is the real Brahman platform. The real Brahman platform means to be engaged in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of God. That in one form or another, they're avoiding service to the Lord. Either they're avoiding it as gross, as materialists, they're avoiding it as jnanis, or they're avoiding it as yogis. But the point is, they're all avoiding devotional service to the Lord, which ahaitakya pratiyata alone will satisfy the soul. So we have to point out the deficiencies in all these categories and support devotional service to the Lord as the highest goal. This is very interesting. This point of avoiding devotional service, even in the name of religion, as Narada was pointing out to Shrivyasate, that you know they all have a tendency to enjoy. So you're only increasing that desire to enjoy in the name of religion. You're calling it religion, but you're actually increasing your desire to be independent from the Lord. So therefore you're despondent. But he actually explained they're all avoiding. So Narada very intelligently pointed out how they're avoiding. So when we took this course in Vrindavan from Jai Dwaita Swami, it was called Straight Thinking, Strong Speaking. One very interesting point that he brought out in debate, that when you're debating with somebody, like for instance, if I say that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that is supported by Shastra, that is, ite cham sal kalopum sha krishnashtu bhagavan shvayam. Krishnashtu Bhagavan Swayam. That establishes Bhagavan Swayam. Krishnashtu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. And someone else is trying to establish that Ganesh is the supreme personality of Godhead. So I give Shastric reference in the debate. He's saying Ganesh, I'm saying Krishna. Ganesh, Krishna. So, ite cham sa kalo pusha. Krishnashtu Bhagavan Swayam. So what is your reference? Well, anyway, you Hare Krishnas were all born into Western families, therefore you don't know anything about spiritual life. That's tricky. So when you're debating with somebody, because he cannot actually answer that argument, he doesn't have Shastic reference, he's weak in his debate, his argument, he changes the subject. Whenever you debate with, this is one of the main things we learn in this course, this strong thinking, straight speaking. That very often when you're debating with somebody, if they can't get you, they'll change the subject. And then if you follow them in changing that subject, then there'll be no conclusion to the debate, so you stick to the point. Now wait a minute, we'll talk about that later. We can also talk about that if you want. I'll also defeat you on that point. But let's get back to this point. What is the Shastic reference for the Absolute Truth? Now I quoted a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. What is your reference? Well, I'm not sure that you're properly situated in a real disciplic succession, you Hare Krishnas. I mean, wait a minute, let's get back to this original point. You're avoiding the issue. You're avoiding the point of discussion. Here's the point, Krishna is God, prove he's not. Yeah, but you Hare Krishnas, I mean, you know, men and women live in the same temple, but there's no such thing as a Brahma tree. He keeps trying to avoid. Okay, we'll talk about that later. Also, I'll also establish that point. So they keep trying to avoid the real issue. So that's what these jnanis and yogis do. They have some points. Let's discuss this point like we have with the Brahmacharinis. Let's discuss the disciplic succession. Let's discuss devotees born in Western. All right. Well, what is the main point? Krishna's God. It's a surrender to him. So they have some amount of truth in that because they have incomplete knowledge, but knowledge is not perfect. They have to accept the superiority of bhakti yoga. So all of them are just avoiding devotional service to the Lord by taking a jnana and patana. Unless, of course, and until that path comes to the point of devotional service, then you're perfected. But why go to all the trouble? Because one may get easily deviated along the way. Why go to all the trouble? Why not immediately take up devotional service to the Lord? And automatically one has the results of all of their spiritual paths. One who takes the path of devotional service to the Lord, as is described in Gita, is not bereft of the knowledge which can be acquired by studying the Vedas. He's not bereft of the results of performing austerities and penances. He's not bereft of any of these things. They're automatically included. And it's always pointed out, of course, the conception of liberation. As Vibhamangal Thakur has stated, now that I have become a devotee of the Lord, moksha, or liberation, stands waiting in my doorstep, waiting to serve. So in one stroke, by the process of devotional service, one gets the benefit of all these other paths. How can that be summed up? By a very practical example, very easily. If one has $100, he automatically has $75, $50, $30, $20, $100. So if you have Krishna, you have everything. If you have Krishna, you have everything. Because Krishna is the absolute truth. In three phases, we may accept. Yes, he has his impersonal nature. So we accept the impersonal. We accept impersonalism. But we do not accept it as being superior to the conception of Bhagavan. Neither do we accept the conception of the understanding of the Lord as his Paramatma feature, as being superior to the understanding of the Lord as a person. So automatically, a devotee, by accepting Krishna, he has the understanding and realization of all these other paths. And it is the safest path as well, because there's no deviation. Why is that? Because one is completely satisfied in Krishna consciousness. Whereas because they do not have a complete understanding, there's still some restlessness there that can go away. So as long as we're properly situated, we're in the safest position. Again, mamchayogi vicharana, bhakti yogi and sevitan, sadhanan samati, ramapuya. One who engages in full devotional service, and mark, full. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down under any circumstances, transcends the modes of nature, and comes to the level of the Brahman. So full devotional service, we've discussed that many times. If we're actually situated like that, we're the safest and secure in all aspects. So, Hare Krishna. Are there any questions? Comments? I know Amitabha was wandering all over India for many years. He did everything and anything under the sun as far as different spiritual paths. He mentioned to me one time he was a very strict staunch Mayavadi. He gave that up. He was involved in karma kanda, different sacrifices, and he gave that up, different things. I don't know if there was some sannyasi. Souls in this movement could be sitting right next to you. Nothing, you know, in other words, we may think, oh, great yogi has come down from the Himalayas and become a devotee, but then again, our children may be great yogis also, maybe great devotees. It's like I remember that one time, a devotee went to one temple in Vrindavan, and this is in the very beginning, perhaps before the residents of Vrindavan had too much knowledge about National Society for Krishna Consciousness, who issued a Prabhupada. And devotee is watching the arti. So the Pujari said, oh yes, he said, someday you were born in America, is it? Oh, if you keep chanting this Hare Krishna, then your next lifetime you will be very fortunate, you can take your birth in India. Pujari. So the devotee went back to the temple, told Prabhupada, so what did you tell him? You know what to say, Prabhupada? Prabhupada said, you should have told him, if he's very fortunate, if he sincerely serves the deity, in his next lifetime he can take birth in America as a member of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness, preach all over the world. One devotee, because devotees ask questions in order to elicit a nice response. So one devotee, Yogeshwar Prabhu, he was asking so many questions. So at one point, Prabhupada rolled his brow like that and said, does our Yogeshwar have some doubts about Krishna consciousness? my response would be that just like many of the great personalities in Srimad Bhagavatam are put into certain situations for our benefit. Of course, Arjuna was put into a situation by the Lord, Maharaj Parikit. The Prabhupada said Maharaj Parikit could easily counteract the curse of Sringi. Maharaj Parikit was a great devotee of the Lord, and Sringi, who was a little boy who cursed him, because Maharaj Parikit had apparently offended his father, although it wasn't a very serious offense. Sringi cursed him to die within 7 days. So in that purport, Prabhupada mentions that Maharaj Prithi could have easily counteracted the curse. But because he knew the ultimate desire of the Lord, he allowed the curse to take place so that he could go and hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimadeva Goswami, so that we could hear the discussion and benefit even thousands of years later. So I would say that by the desire of the Lord, Srimad Vyasadeva was situation so that we could hear Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the natural commentary on his work. His work concluded with the Vedanta Sutras. And then, after hearing from his spiritual master, Narada Muni, came Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the natural commentary on the Vedanta Sutras. So, it is all passed on to the Lord so that we will have the ability to compare. The despondency of Srila Vyasadeva and our own despondency and lack of Krishna consciousness, for whatever reason it may be, and understand what is actual pure devotional service. Because it's very nicely analyzed in that chapter, I think it's Canto 1, Chapter 4 and 5, the despondency. So, in hearing about the despondency of Srila Vyasadeva, the despondency of Arjuna, the difficulties of Maharaj Parikit, difficulties of the Pandavas, we can easily relate to our own situations. In other words, the philosophy is there so that we can analyze, oh yes, I'm also thinking in this way, I'm also doing like that. That will lead to karma, so let me avoid that, because I can see in this particular pastime by reading that was the result. Here is the result of pure devotional service. So we have, because the absolute truth is relevant in all phases. Absolute truth means it is applicable in the past, the present, and the future. One time when I was preaching at a university, I gave a class on Bhagavad Gita, so the professor raised his hand and said, well, it all sounds very nice, he said, but, you know, now we have modern science and technology to solve our problems. And, you know, this philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita, that was meant for people who were living 5,000 years ago. So I pointed out to him, yes, you may think like that, sir, but... Well, first of all, I pointed out that your science and technology has not really solved any of the problems, because what are the ultimate problems? Birth, death, old age, and disease. And have your science solved any of these problems, Mr. Professor, Mr. Frog? So he said, no, So I said, because of this relative truth, speculative truth, I said, Bhagavad Gita, spoken by the Lord, is eternal truth. And the same problems that Arjuna had, we have today. What was his main problem? Arjuna was identifying with the body, his bodily relationships, and as a result, he was feeling despondent. It all started from that platform of bodily identity. So the first instructions of Gita are there. You are not this body. That's how Krishna starts out, that you are not this body. So the same problems that were there 5,000 years ago, the same problems that were there 10,000 years ago, the same problems that were there millions of years ago, because Bhagavatam deals with histories of the universe going back, not necessarily in chronological order, but histories of the universe going back many millions and millions and millions and millions of years ago. And if we see, we look at those problems, we can see that the same problems that we are facing today in our material existence, maybe the clothes have changed, the language has changed, the traditions have changed, but the basic problems of material existence are there. And therefore, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, being eternal knowledge, they're applicable at all phases of time. We take up this knowledge even now, we can achieve the same perfection as Arjuna did, as Maharaj Pariksit did. So therefore, the Lord puts his devotees in situations like this. Sometimes the Lord will utilize his devotees like that. Who else can he utilize? Can he use the demons? Sometimes the Lord himself takes the position of a student. Although he's the Lord, sometimes he also becomes a student, just as like Prabhupada said, the incarnation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya is showing us how to act in devotional service. The Prabhupada comments in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sometimes the teacher may take the pen and write ABC, but does that mean the teacher is learning the ABC alphabet? No, he's teaching. But sometimes the Lord, often the Lord will use his devotees to show. Because if he used the demons, maybe he could make a mess of it. Like for instance, the Lord, where does his propensity to fight come from? We were discussing the last few days. How Prithu Maharaj was thinking, maybe I'm going to quarrel with Lakshmi. If I get to the position of the Vaikuntha planets, I'm going to fight with Lakshmi, I'm going to quarrel. So we had to elaborate that anger is there in the spiritual world. Even jealousy may be there in the spiritual world. So where does this tendency to fight come from? It comes from the Lord. So in the Vaikuntha planets, there was, of course, the whole story evolves from that pastime of Jaya and Vijaya. And the Lord, one day, it's described it, but one day in the Vaikuntha planets, the Lord, he had a tendency to fight, because it's in him, in his pure nature. But he looked around. Who can I fight with here in the Vaikuntha planets? Everyone is engaged in loving devotional service in the mood of awe and reverence. Who will I fight with? So the Lord, he made an arrangement that, well, many things are accomplished by the Lord's doing even one thing. By doing one thing, the Lord accomplishes many things. So the four Kumaras, they came to the gates of Vaikuntha, they wanted to come in. And by the will of the Lord, Jaya and Vijaya refused them entrance, so therefore the Kumaras cursed them. They went to the material world. One purpose was served, as Prabhupada mentions, that the Lord wanted to fight. So why should the Lord want to associate with these demoniac sense gratifiers in the material world? If he's going to fight, he'll fight with one of his devotees. He'll enjoy that combative spirit with one of his devotees. So he chose Jaya and Vijaya to come to material world to fight with. So similarly, we see that sometimes devotees appear to be put into a bewildering situation. They appear to be confused. But this is the mercy of the Lord, using his devotee to teach us lessons of Krishna consciousness.
Thank you.
this age, Kali Yuga, actually, even those activities are not applicable. Of course, we're maybe a small section of society in Bharat Varsa, you know, the Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, etc. They have some benefit, but because in Kali Yuga, everyone is born Sudra, Kalo Sudra Sambhava. Technically speaking, Sudra is not allowed to engage in the study of the Vedas or the spiritual activities of the Vedas. Therefore, there is Kuharina, who is the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. So especially, this, of course, it's mentioned, isn't it, that Chitta Vyasadeva, he wrote down these, or he established the Vedic literature fallen nature of the people in this age. But very quickly, these things are not becoming applicable as Kali Yuga advances. And the only sacrifice, Krishna Manam Tushar Krishna Shangapam Vishapashana Yagnai Sanyutai Vijanti Isamayas, the chanting of the holy names can uplift even the most known. And interestingly enough, that Adinam can bring one to the level of true devotion. Questions? I was thinking that as I was saying also. I think that, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Maharaj, but this would apply, Prabhupada's purports were applying specifically to the Vaikuntha planets, where the mode is awe and reverence. But we know that in Goloka Vrindavan, that Krishna does fight with his friends, and he loses. You know, there on Goloka Vrindavan, we may see, and sometimes we see also, Radharani is becoming very angry at Krishna. Has done something to her too, but that increases her love for the Lord. So I would say the Loka Vrindavan we would see it there in the Vaikuntha planets with the moon is odd reference where one is serving the Lord as a humble servant. Perhaps those emotions would not arise in anger and complaint. The best I can do. This is getting into the different rasas, you know, like the ghastly rasa and this and that. And, still trying to protect our chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. My understanding is from Tathagata. Shishivara Gopinath ki, Shri Prabhupada ki.
There's a light on.